You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Moore and Connolly Football Show. Thank you so much for joining us once again. My name is Tom Moore, your humble host, and joining me, as always, is my good chum, the hero, the legend. He's everywhere and nowhere. It's Ollie Connolly. Ollie, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. We had our pilot show last week, and this is kind of the first proper show, I'm calling it, of the relaunched MCFS.
Yeah, and I've heard from tons of people who cannot believe that you're back. From our first run of doing the MCFS, which I think was 6 years, I figured out, and we ended kind of doing it, what, every week 4 years ago, something like that?
About that, yeah.
In that time, we always say the thing about, you know, you met your wife, had a kid and all that stuff, and I stayed a lowly sports writer. I made a ton of real-life friends through doing the MCFS. If you rattled through, I would never do it on the show, but my top 10 friends, like six of them, are from people who initially listened to the MCFS, one of whom's wedding I'm going to in a couple of weeks. And all these people, my phone was ablaze to discover the legend Tom Moore is back in for a full season.
Hey, mate, it feels good. And this is the thing, it was a community, Ollie. It was a community. And if you're listening to this for the first time and you're giving us a chance, thanks for joining us. This is about having fun as well as talking about football. That's what the MCFS is on gridiron. It's Ollie Connolly and I. And Ollie, we have got some questions and listener interaction today to kind of cap off the show at the end from some serious old school MCFS back in the day Hall of Famers, my friend. So I think you're going to recognize some names when we get to questions later.
I'm very excited because I've been swamped all day. I have not even properly gone through the running order. I have an alcoholic beverage to my right. I am ready to go and I cannot wait to see who's popped up from under the undergrowth.
Under the undergrowth. And just so everyone's aware, what we're going to talk about on the show is we're going to hit some big NFL news. We're going to weave in a little bit of alternative funny news to try and, you know, keep us all entertained because it's the end of the week. We are going to then hit some other items that we've got that we've been going for in our pilot episode. We're going to carry that on. Some bit of numpty legend of the week. And then, Ollie, today, the big feature, we're looking at game shows this series on the MCFS. Every week playing a different NFL-themed game show. And this week, we're going to hit Family Fortunes, or if you're American, the Family Feud.
Family Feud. Now, is this fast money, or is it the quick round at the end of the thing? Is this the general?
I'm going general, Ollie. General in terms of there's a top five, and you've got to try and name the top five, okay?
Very excited.
And it's all NFL themed, ladies and gentlemen, so you can play along at home, and that's part of the fun. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at Ollie Connolly, at @the_Tommy_Moore. It just seemed rather ridiculous, but I kind of got to stick with it now because I've got with it. If you want to send us questions or nonsense or comments or ideas for game shows that we should play, hit us up at mcfsquestions@gmail.com. That's where you can find us. Ollie, just a few thoughts before we get into the news this week. I've been watching the Commonwealth Games, which if you're not from the Commonwealth, it's a rather weird idea, but okay.
Commonwealth, I find it peculiar.
Yeah. They were describing decathletes as if it by surprise as particularly svelte. They're professional athletes. I was listening to the commentary. They were going, oh, he's a particularly svelte decathlete. He's a professional decathlete. Of course he is.
Is the decathlon the one where you're also throwing things, though? Is there a javelin involved in the decathlon?
I believe there's a javelin involved. And there might even be a shot. I think it might be two throwing involved. There might be a shot put as well, because they do shot put in the women's heptathlon, don't they?
And did they steeplechase in the decathlon?
Yes, I think so. I thought about the horses there.
A quite wiry, wide receiver level, lean athlete with some upper body torque, correct?
Kind of maybe a Justin Jefferson or a Julio Jones type would be a good decathlete.
Okay. So they missed their calling. Yeah, it would be surprised if there was a should we say, large decathlete would be more breaking news, I think, than the svelte one.
Probably. It's really interesting. Well, when you watch the Commonwealth Games or any event like that, the Olympics or whatever, you see the 5,000, 10,000 meter runners going around the track as the, I don't know, as the hammer throwers are just warming up on the inner track and they roll past them. A hammer thrower could eat several 10,000 meter runners.
Yes. A snarling, roided up Russian just throwing a hammer.
And also, Ollie, something else I wanted to share with you. I've come up with a great name for the condition that afflicts us all, where you scroll through Netflix or any other streaming site and not being able to find anything that you watch. And you end up doing that for half an hour and giving it up. I've decided, because it afflicts me quite a lot, to call that Netflix-itis.
That is how I spend every evening. Half indeed. 9 o'clock.
Indeed. Anyway, hell for it, Ollie. Let's get to the news. So the big NFL news story today is, well, and it has been all week, Ollie, is about Deshaun Watson. The suspension, which came down as 6 months, and the appeal, which has now been launched, which, Ollie, I don't really understand, because the suspension was handed down by a judge. And my interpretation of these scenarios is that if there was a problem with that, it would be appealed by the person who was being suspended. But the appeal is, in fact, enacted by the NFL, who then, it's Roger Goodell's decision whether he's the one who hears the appeal. It all seems awfully backwards, Ollie.
Yeah, they changed in the last CBA because of Goodell's overreach in things like Deflategate, some of the other incidents he was involved with, his lack of involvement in Ray Rice, and obviously the issue in New Orleans before that in Bountygate, and people felt he went too far. The new CBA tried to hand things off to a disciplinary officer, is what the judges paid for and selected individually, case by case, by the NFLPA. And by the NFL, which would be in this case Roger Goodell, and that the NFL takes its findings to the disciplinary officer. They issue the discipline, but then within that CBA, there's a quirk there, and then just nestled in the fine print, just nicely in there, that if the league appeals the decision, Roger Goodell will then decide the punishment. So for Watson, it was the 6 games, and then Goodell can say, "Hey, hold up a second, I thought it should be a year or indefinite," which is what we may be looking at now. I will appeal this, and it will either go to Goodell or he can have a designee. And this was basically created to give Roger Goodell some kind of breathing room, and mostly with the public and the media, so that he didn't have to have his hands on the knife if it was a decision that was thought of ill from the public, which this is one obviously thought ill by the public, and he can now ride it on the chariot and say, I'm going to be the good guy and do a serious suspension, and still give himself some breathing room by saying, well, I won't be the one who's, like, you know, massively changing the rules on the fly. I'll have a designee who will do this for me. Now, do you think the designee will speak to his boss, who is in charge of the National Football League and who works for 32 owners, when one of the biggest stars in the sport is accused and has been found guilty within the report of being a serial sexual predator?
It seems bonkers to me, Ollie, and I know you've written a lot about this, and of course you can find all Ollie's thoughts online if you go via his Twitter at Ollie Connolly. All your thoughts on there are very valid, Ollie, and you make some excellent points. I don't understand how this has ended up being handed down as 6 months in the first place. And it's been handed down, Ollie, as well by a judge, not just some Mickey Mouse person. So there has to be some legal logic behind what she's done. And even I am clamoring, like everybody else is, to say it should be a year, it should be indefinite. But therefore, what has she based it on? I don't understand, Ollie.
So I would encourage people, I had a roundtable discussion with a bunch of journalists on Wednesday when the decision came down. We went really long on all the nuances and details of the different facets of this. You can find that earlier on the feed. She basically said, this is an administrative error from the NFL, right? She goes line by line saying he did all these things. And we should bear in mind that she only heard 5 cases of the victims, not the reported 25 plus, and the Texans settled 30 lawsuits. So there's 30. Mm. And then you can obviously deduce there will be more women who just have not come forward, right? So she only heard 5 of the cases and she only went forward with 4, right? She found him guilty of every single thing in there. She called it the most egregious thing that has ever happened in the league, essentially. But what she said was, it is an administrative error where you cannot suspend someone beyond precedent without notice. Meaning, in the last CBA, you did not include in there anything to do with this, and your precedent suggests when you go through something like Ezekiel Elliott that you have to keep along that same strand until you notify your league partners, the NFLPA, that you're changing your disciplinary code. Now, some of that makes sense, and that the journalists I had on the Wednesday show, they kind of disagreed on some of that. The lawyer herself uses the word unprecedented, but then cites precedent, which is a contradiction. And we should bear in mind too, the person that was signed off on, so the disciplinary officer, was a copyright lawyer. This was not a traditional criminal lawyer, right? Mm. So he goes very much by what is written in the legal document in the CBA without necessarily taking into account the fact that this is the biggest star in the league. It's 30 women, that kind of thing. So it's really what she did, and she said it in there, in the report, that she was essentially going after the NFL for saying, you so mishandled cases against mistreatment of women over 15 years of Roger Goodell's run that you now cannot, as I said, ride on a chariot and try and be the champion and push yourself into the public like you're doing a real public service, because you've not notified the players that that's now what you're doing and it's written down in the CBA. You know, to me, it's not a great ruling. She says in there he did all the things he's been accused of, and that it's 6 games is only because of Ezekiel Elliott, who was a guy who had a single charge. That's the precedent she's using. So I think that it going now to an appeal, it's one of those ones where you don't really want, as a fan or as a media member covering this, that guy to have that level of power. It was a mess when he had that before. But in this single case, I think he has every right to bring the hammer down and certainly make it indefinite. And particularly, and I'm sorry for waffling so long, but particularly when the guy at the center of this, who has been found guilty of this through the disciplinary officer, has shown not a shred of remorse. She cites that in there as one of her major concerns. He's not shown a shred of remorse. And then the Browns come out and say, well, he has shown remorse. Okay, then let's suspend him at minimum until he starts to get his head around the fact that what he did was not only likely criminal, but at minimum inappropriate and made people uncomfortable. And he's never once admitted that. He said he's done nothing wrong. He said he's never disrespected a woman. And until he at least admits that, which is not exactly a legal standard, then he should be out of the league indefinitely.
It's Trumpian, isn't it, in its behavior almost? And it's, I don't want to actually continue to rehash it, Ollie. You've shared your opinions. They're out there on the other shows as well. And we just needed to punctuate it here. But it's that world that we live in terms of, you can create your own reality. And you can say, oh, I never mistreated women, or I never disrespected women, even if you definitely did. And that scares me. And that's a world that we all live in now. And that's, to me, Ollie, that's terrifying. And that's taking this out and extrapolating it to a different topic. But just living in a world where people can make up their own reality and go, no, I didn't do that. It's bonkers.
And this, you know, to push it forward, we now are in a situation where the Browns gave him that grotesque contract to try and inoculate him from any financial punishment. The punishment is different because she didn't issue a fine. She issued the games, the 6 games, and you get suspended your paycheck basically week to week. And because of the way they structured that contract, it is such a minimal financial payment, even compared to what it would have been. You know, if he'd signed a traditional contract, it would be about $3.5 million. Instead, it's in the 300K range, and he's already made $43 million. As soon as he signed the contract with the Browns, they gave him $43 million, basically. Now we're in this strange situation where the NFL is going to appeal us. We'll go through the exact same stuff we went through with Brady and Deflategate, right? The NFL will say it's going to be a year indefinite, whatever they decide to do with it, right? They're clearly unhappy with what the disciplinary officer came decision was. They will appeal it and say it's a year, it's indefinite. The NFLPA and Deshaun Watson, the PA on his behalf, will sue him, will take him to court. If they can get a judge to hear the case, which I don't think is a given, given that it's written in a CBA that this is allowed, he'll sue the league, he'll get an injunction, he'll be able to play while there's an injunction. Now, there's some differing opinions on whether that would be week 1 or he has to do the suspension that was kind of agreed upon with the disciplinary officer. We'll find that out. And then we'll fight a legal battle for a year, 18 months, as Tom Brady did, and then he'll have to serve the suspension the following year when a judge decides, well, you guys agree to this in the CBA. It says right there, Roger Goodell can basically decide to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with discipline. He just has this little quirky system that's face-saving if he needs it. And so he'll serve it in 2023. And the last point I'll make on it is, we're now in less of a moral standoff, for lack of a better expression, as a financial one where Watson is now calculating how much money will I lose if I serve the ban in 2023 or 2024, as opposed to getting it out of the way this year. Because the way they struck that deal was to try and circumvent him serving a financial punishment, right? If it's all of next year, then he'll have to give up all of that contract for the year. If it's all of this year, they already paid him all the money.
Okay, let's move on, Ollie, and let's try and take things down to a little bit more relaxed way. And what we do on the Moore and Connolly Football Show, and what we have always done, is we've mixed NFL news with some different alternative fun news. So I'm going to skip between an NFL news story and then a different news story. And the first one this week, Ollie, is an absolute classic. It's a wonderful piece that I've heard that's come out of kind of a mixture of India and Russia. So bear with me. Scammers arrested after live streaming fake IPL, which is the Indian Premier League. It's a cricket league, if you don't know, from Farmers Field to con gamblers in Russia. This is fantastic. So a fake version of cricket's Indian Premier League set up to con gamblers in Russia has been broken up after police arrested the gang behind it. So this apparently is an elaborate hoax where the con men hired a Farmers Field in Gujarat and set up cameras to film bogus games. And according to reports, labourers and local unemployed people were hired to masquerade as players and created fake team names with the players wearing official, well, replica IPL kits. The games were then streamed live on YouTube to unsuspecting betting operations in Russia. Now, the Times of India says that a local man who could do a very good impression of commentator Harsha Bogle was brought in to add authenticity to the footage, and then crowd noise and sound effects were downloaded from the internet and made the ambience appear authentic. That's what the paper said. What an you've got to give people credit, Ollie, when they try and scam people and they put so much effort into it.
It's one of the greatest stories of all time, and I really cannot wait for the documentary. I heard about this, it was about a fortnight ago now, right? And I'm still upset that they shut it down, because it was only the only gambling they got reading through it was from Baltic countries, and as you said, it's like 92% Russia. Okay, if they want to gamble on a fake Indian Premier League, they're still a winner and loser. They were still
fill your boots.
The game. They were just pretending to be very famous cricketers that they were not. It was still a matchup.
I don't really see the harm. Yeah, actually, when you think about it, where's the harm? Have you seen Bad Sport on Netflix?
I've seen a couple of them. Yeah, they're like standalone docs, aren't they?
Yeah, they are quite good. There's a Juventus one about the referee influencing, but then there's a cricket one as well about Hansi Kronje, which is very interesting if you're a cricket fan. Anyway, this isn't a cricket podcast.
Just ask, as someone who is a keen cricketer and cricket viewer, what is the hardest part to fake there? Because I imagine if you're gambling on cricket as a Russian person, now, cricket is not massively popular in Russia, I'm taken to understand. But I think you would have some semblance of an idea of what kind of the mechanics would be to do the best.
Yes.
You're just going through the app. Immediately, as they bowled the first ball,
yes,
you would say that's not quick enough for the IPL level, right?
That's exactly what you would see. Technically, and then the speed of the ball coming out the bowler's arm, yeah, you would definitely notice. And then the technique of the players, because, you know, I play at an all right level, but you can tell that the technique is not there. There's a technical discipline, even though techniques are, and I've said technique too many times in the last 10 seconds, even though individual batsmen's techniques can be quite different, Steve Smith versus a Kane Williamson, if people know what the hell I'm talking about, still there is an obviousness if someone is not of a very high standard, Ollie. So you would pick it up straight away, but if they're Russian, they don't know what they're doing. There you go. On that, Ollie, this year, I've scored 85, 82, 99. I keep getting so close to getting 100, and I open the batting, and I got out on 99. I just skied it in the air, and I sent my dad a message. I said, "Dad, I got out on 99." Instead of saying, "Unlucky, congratulations," he just said, "You idiot." Anyway, let's go back to the NFL, Ollie. And Deebo Samuel has finally got his 49ers extension. This has been going on for a while. This guy always seems to have loads of bling on him as well. This guy is proper bling heavy, Deebo Samuel is. $73.5 million, three-year contract extension. And given the stuff that he's had around his neck before he had the extension, he's going to have some kind of diamond-encrusted, like, tire around his neck, dangling near his knees probably soon.
I hope so. The big thing for them is he just going to be a wide receiver? Will he still play the two positions? He said publicly now that, yeah, I'm up for doing that. Whereas before the contract, he said, no. I no longer would like to play running back in the NFL. That really hurts. So we'll see. Apparently, there's contract clauses in there that say, you know, if he plays X number of snaps as a running back, say 10 a game, if he gets a number of rushing touchdowns, rushing yards, he'll get more and more money, which I think is probably the correct way to structure that kind of thing. And yeah, it's one of the top offensive pieces in the league. That's what it costs now to get those guys. And unlike, you know, Will and I really broke down receiver contracts the other day for the nerds interested in listening to that stuff.
Nerd alert! Nerd!
Sorry, I was just thinking of Homer in The Simpsons when he goes to college and he pulls up in the car and it's just this guy walks past who looks a little bit nerd. He just goes, nerd! And he goes, there's two people, jocks and nerds. As a jock, I have to give nerds a hard time. And he turns to this guy who looks like a football player and goes, hey, dude, did you see the nerd? He just goes, pardon me. Sorry. If you're not an MCFS listener from the history as well, you'll find there's a lot of Simpsons conversations that come up. Please continue Simpsons with Debo Samuel.
Are almost more vital than the NFL at this point in time.
Oh, yeah.
So Debo, where was I? Yeah, so there's a real threshold of how much you should allocate the cap to top receivers, I think, at this point. But Debo being the kind of two-position, two-way, for lack of a better expression, player, I think he's absolutely worth this.
Yeah. Well, see, I had this was holding out this false hope that maybe the Packers would, after getting rid of Devontae Adams, you know, maybe Debo Samuel would somehow end up in Green Bay. It was never going to happen. And anyway, we've got the Lizard Man. So it's fine. Right. Let's skip back out to a non-NFL news story, Ollie. And I've got two more risque news stories to end in between. There'll be another NFL story. But to hit you with this one, Sydney to Hobart race. So there's a yachting race from Sydney to Hobart. Okay. Group of nudists rescues family stuck at sea. Now, bear with me because I've analysed this and I have questions, right? Nudists have rescued a group of sailors after a small boat that they were in got caught up in strong currents in Sydney to Hobart. So the group were watching the annual Sydney to Hobart race when they found themselves struggling to keep control of the boat. Okay. Spotting the sailors in trouble, a group of nudists and other eyewitnesses on Lady Bay Beach set off to rescue the group. Interesting, there's a Lady Bay in Nottingham near where I live, so I've never seen any nudists there. It's actually pretty rough. The boat came angling into the shore, which was a bit weird. This is what Chris Pierce, a Getty Agency photographer who photographed the rescue mission, told The Telegraph. I'll come back to Chris in a minute. I thought maybe they were dropping something off. But then a guy with a kid started screaming at the people on the shore, saying expletives, come on, come help, come help. You could see a fair bit of water on the boat. So the nudists rescued the women and child on the boat before pulling the boat ashore. Now, the incident was witnessed by hundreds of spectators. Now, first of all, why were these people on the boat, Ollie? Did they navigate themselves to a nudist cove and then suddenly start sinking? What was Chris Pierce doing there, Getty Agency photographer, on this particular nudist cove? I just happened to be there. So many questions, Ollie.
Now, I just typed Chris Pierce into Getty as a Getty subscriber, and I'm seeing not a single photograph from the Hobart Grand Prix, whatever they call a yachting event. I'm seeing not a single one. So he was on there, presumably, to take photos of the yacht situation, we're hoping. And yet I'm seeing this story doesn't stack up.
He was seeing them run something else up the flagpole or something along those lines. Questions, but, you know, down under is Australia. Maybe if Tristan, again, Hall of Famer, long-time listener from the back of the old MCFS days, I'll hit him up on Twitter, hit him up on the text message as well. Lovely chat. Maybe Tristan will tell us.
On the ground reporting.
Yeah, if that's normal. Tristan, I need your help. Back to the NFL for one more news story from the NFL, Ollie. James Washington could miss 10 games for Dallas with a broken foot. There's actually been quite a few injuries as well. The Bucs center has picked up an injury. I know he might be out for the entire season. Is that Jensen?
Yes.
So what do you make of this Washington one and any other ones in terms of injuries, Ollie, which they start to come now during training camp? It's always one of those things as a fan, you're crossing your fingers going, no. What of any of the injuries? Which ones would you pick out?
Washington one, I'll touch on particularly, but that one is a frustrating one. I mean, we did, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago, potential breakout plays of the season. I had Washington on there. He'd played with this fossilized version of Ben Roethlisberger for 2 years, and so was considered a bad player, a bad wide receiver, because Ben Roethlisberger couldn't push the ball down the field. And James Washington's great strength is he's a deep threat, and he has one of the finest if you run through the data, his kind of per route production is extraordinary down the field. And I really thought if you could slot him into that system with Dak, with CeeDee Lamb drawing so much attention inside, he could have a pretty explosive big year. And so to lose him for 10 weeks is frustrating and will be difficult for them to cope with. I think they needed that kind of deep, take the top off, at least push back the coverage type receiver. And so to lose that, I think will be tough for them. But if it's 10 weeks and he's back in time for an end of year postseason run, then it's one of those things where if you can just kind of mull through and figure out other things on offense, and it's a nice thing to drop back onto to your team when he returns to full health.
Definitely, Ollie. Definitely. Now I'm going to finish news this week with a fantastic one, Ollie. Again, it's as if the gods and the universe realized that we were coming back to do news. This is fantastic. I found this one on the Metro, and it goes as such. Brace yourself. Man suffers 100 erections a day, and girlfriend says, in inverted commas, there's no rest. So, a woman has spoken out about her unusual sex life, saying her boyfriend has up to 100 erections a day, and it is tiring her out. Vicky Brown names the people. They're proud. They're just going, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you my story. Vicky Brown and Lucas Martins met by chance in a Morrison supermarket queue. Maybe he bumped into her accidentally. That's the product of his issue. And since then, they have enjoyed a passionate relationship. But Vicky says her partner's erections are so frequent, they can happen at any time. It's like Timmy in South Park with the alarm, with the bell. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Such as in the shop or going for a coffee. Why not? Lucas even went to a doctor about it, but was told it wasn't a medical issue. Well, maybe not, but the regularity of it is probably difficult. He says he's never experienced this before meeting Vicky and puts it down to her being a goddess. I mean, that's nice, isn't it, Ollie?
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
You can add your comment, but then there's more.
I need more intel on the why, and not the why of his biological habits or whatever's happening there, of the why of if it's, say, it's 100 a day, then what is their ratio and why do they have to have that? If he's comfortable, then 90 times they're not, which seems like a massive amount, right?
Right, hang on. So let's say it's
100, be 99.
Well, let's say it's 100 times a day, okay? And let's say they're awake, he's awake for what, 12 hours? Mm-hmm. Right, so 100 divided by 12,
never not erect.
That's 8.3 an hour. So if we take 60 and divide it by 8.3, you get an erection every 7.2 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's considering if none of those happen at night.
No, anyway, that is excessive. And
you're telling me.
I don't know why that wouldn't be deemed a medical issue.
It seems like it would be. Now, this is what he says to continue the story. She only needs to look at me and speak to me, and I get hungry for it, he said. If that pheromone and testosterone just link together correctly, I can easily come to bed and look at Vicky and have an erection. I fall asleep with one and wake up with one. Well, there's nothing that outrageous about the latter thing there. She is basically a forbidden fruit, and for that reason, I just want to eat it. Hang on a second. How she's a fit? Now I want to continue reading. Right, bear with me. Ollie's got his head in his hands for those audio listeners. Vicky said he has always believed in good intercourse with his woman and wife-to-be, and that she agrees it brings a relationship closer. He wants to be with me all the time, but she says it's starting to get in the way of her chores and appointments. It's like a set of a porno. So they want to know if it's something that other people are experiencing, because he's had erections in the shop, restaurants, the gym. There's no rest for it. And he wondered whether it was an issue anybody else had. We met in my favorite childhood supermarket, Morrison's. I was in my uniform, okay, with wet hair and a mask on. Oh, right, because it was during COVID time, sorry. And we were queuing up as he walked round the corner with a massive piece of fillet steak in his basket and said, wow, aren't you beautiful? This gets worse, this story. We got speaking and I turned down 3 coffee dates at the start because I was so happy being on my own. But then we kept bumping each other into each other. Oh my God, I'm scrolling now, and the story keeps going. In bed, it's the same. We can go to sleep with an erection and wake up with one. Even though he does night shifts, there's no change in it at all. I'm so confused right now. Lucas, who works in management, fine, said, it just seems to be natural. I've got a wonderful woman next to me. She's a goddess. This seems a weird story. If anyone wants to check that out and send us their thoughts, mcfsquestions@gmail.com.
Sounds like a HR disaster waiting to happen if he's in management.
It really does. Ollie, let's zoom out of this and let's zoom into some Legend of the Week talk. So, Ollie, Legend of the week this week, I'm not going to give you an NFL one, okay? I want to give you a topical one. Is that okay?
Please.
Now, my legend of the week this week is specifically around the Women's Euros 2022 victory. So if you're not aware of this, if you're not in the UK or you're not a fan of football or women's football, soccer that is, the English women's soccer team won the European Championships, which is all the international teams in Europe they play. And it's the first time that they've done so. It's the first time that England have won a major tournament, men or women, since 1966. It's a massive big deal. And this, Ollie, is a quote that I think is absolutely brilliant. Leah Williamson, the captain, she is my legend of the week because Paolo Maldini, the famous and wonderful, fantastic, if you're an American, you don't know who he is, essentially a Hall of Famer, you would say, left back for Italy. He said, if I ever had to make a tackle, then I've already made a mistake. And Leah Williamson made no tackles, playing central defence through the whole of Euro 22. But I believe, on top of that, she intercepted more balls than anybody else. That is Bobby Moore-esque. And that is why Leah Williams is my legend of the week.
Well, if we're doing legends of the week, I'm going to go with Chloe Kelly because I don't believe she has stopped dancing yet. I think she will never not dance for the rest of time. She was the match-winning hero. Is that the correct way to put it? Here's me now trying to change my English brain to make it understandable to American people. It was an unbelievable moment. Unbelievable moment. And the first goal, world-class finish. It was outrageous. That Maldini quote is great because that cycles around all the time, right? And then someone will put a compilation of him just two-footing people in mid-90s Serie A football, which was, I think, the best time of football. So, yeah.
Well, football used to be quite a defensive game. Soccer, we're talking about here. And then it's become more attacking. And traditionally in Italy, very defensive game. It was always the classic, the Brazilians are the masters of attack, the Italians are masters of defence. And that's how they would end up together. It is a wonderful quote. But that team, they did fantastically. It was wonderful to watch. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. And anyone that is still talking in a derogatory way about women's football really, really need to go and watch it because it is so much better than it was 10 years ago. The improvements have been fantastic and it is enjoyable to watch. There's great skill and talent there, Ollie. It's fantastic.
The greatest part about it is that, one, people kept saying the ref was terrible in the final, which I kind of disagree with. Not that she was necessarily getting the good calls right or wrong, but they just allow it. It's such a more physical game in the Premier League. Now, the Premier League, the skill level is obviously off the charts. Even I watch a lot of La Liga. The skill level, you can see it every week. The difference between Eibar and, like, I don't know, even Norwich in the Championship now, it's just not even close. The technical skill of the players now. But in La Liga, there's no physical football, right? In the Euro Championships, you watch any game, they will just clobber each other and they will get up and carry on running. And I'm waiting for the whistle. There's no whistle. They just keep playing. The style and aesthetic of the game is genuinely more appealing than the style of any other kind of league. Now, it's the top of the sport. But international football is awful and stodgy and crappy and set pieces. The way that thing flows is so much more fun than anything else. It's a joy to watch.
It really, really was. It really was. That's our legend of the week, Ollie. Now, let's move on, Ollie, to my favorite part of the show. And it will be my favorite part of the show as we move forward. We're going to have a game show. Each week, a famous game show, and we're going to put an NFL slant on it. Now, Ollie, this week, I'm really excited for this one. We're going to play Family Fortunes or the Family Feud. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay, let's play the feud. Now, Ollie, all of these questions are NFL related. And the point of playing the game show, ladies and gentlemen, is so you can play along at home. If you're driving in the car, you're doing a run or you're on a walk and you're listening to the podcast, you can play along. And I have got quite a few questions. We don't have to do them all, Ollie, but I'm going to work through them. And then we're playing this game on the basis of this is the main board game. The board's up there and I'm going to do the our survey said and see whether you're right. And it's the top five in each of the categories that I'm going to go through, NFL related. Okay. Are you ready to play the feud?
I've never been more ready.
And and it is Family Fortunes in the UK, obviously, but for some reason, calling it the feud seems to really appeal to me. So the first category, Ollie, we've got is NFL career leaders all time passing touchdown to interception ratio. Now, top five, you can't have number one because it's obvious, okay? It is
Tom Brady.
No, it's Aaron Rodgers. Oh, seriously.
Oh, this is what people are going to be excited by this now. You know, I'm a ex-scout scheme nerd. Stuff like this just does not move my needle and does not cross my radar. So I'm about to, as they say in English, show my ass.
Okay, I love it. So we've got five answers on the board. The top five who lead NFL
ratio. So I'm going percentage yeah. ratio. Who is the most clinical? Now, is there a minimum attempt?
10,000 yards passing, because all the people I've seen have got over 10,000 yards in this list. Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers' TD to interception ratio is 4.83. So essentially, that's 4.83 touchdowns to an interception. There's four more in the top five, Ollie. Yeah. I'm going to let you have five guesses at getting them. And if you want to give up at any point, you're allowed to. Yeah. But who are the top five, apart from Rodgers, in history? And I suppose you have to consider here that the modern game has got probably far more accurate quarterbacks in terms of less interceptions, I would suggest.
Patrick Mahomes
is number two. But you're right. One and two is Rodgers and Mahomes.
Okay, so I'm doing another guess. Now, I'm going to go with people who were high-volume passers. I guess that's not necessary for 10,000 yards. Better touchdown ratio to turnover ratio. Guys who are highly efficient. Drew Brees.
Our survey said... No, Ollie, not Drew Brees.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Not Drew Brees.
So you've now got three left to get and only three guesses.
Only three guesses.
Drew Brees is 11th, 2.35.
Okay. 10,000 yards. Is there, can I ask a question? That's not.
Yeah, of course you can.
Is there a name in there that is a player who we all acknowledge is average, but because of what this specific thing is, they're in the...
You know what? Actually, no. The three players that remain behind Rodgers and Mahomes are all excellent, high-quality, well-regarded football players, as in they are known for their talent, Ollie. Very much so. There's no weird one in here. The person in at number five, though, is an interesting name for this moment in time, shall I say? Oh, that's all I'll say.
That is interesting. Okay, Russell Wilson.
Our survey said... Yes, Russell Wilson is third, 3.36.
Oh, so I got two and three. That's good. Okay. Fourth, the interesting one. You know, you name it, you immediately...
No, the fifth is the interesting one for this current moment in time. That's quite a big clue. And the fourth one is a volume and an obvious one. So you should get these two now that I've just told you that.
Yeah, so it's Deshaun Watson.
Our survey said... Yes, unfortunately, Deshaun Watson is number five, 2.89. Who's number four then, Ollie? Let's do it quickly. Come on, big volume. He's played forever.
Tom Brady.
Our survey said, yes, Rodgers, Mahomes, Wilson, Brady, and Watson. Okay, let's move on.
Very good.
Let's move on to something a bit different. We're going to go to teams now, Ollie, in our next round, which is the top five teams in terms of... Now, I want you to get a clean sweep here, Ollie. Okay, this is my expectation of you. Yeah. And I hope some of you can at home. World Championship titles. Oh, not just Super Bowls.
Oh, okay.
World Championship titles. Top five. Go for it.
Okay, top five. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Our survey said... Yes, joint fourth. So fourth and fifth. Sixth. Six World Championships.
Okay. Green Bay Packers.
Our survey said... Obviously, yes, the Packers, 13-time world champions. I know people will debate that. I don't care. 13, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, when they were playing in black and white with only whites is when they were winning all those titles.
Well, when through their eyes, it was in color.
Yeah. The New England Patriots.
Our survey said, yes, six titles as well, the same as the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Our survey said... No, Ollie. Oh. Five from San Francisco. I'll give you the last chance to get the last two. So these are between 13 and six. They're the numbers we're talking about here.
And can you remind me of who I've said? I forgot.
You said the Packers, the Patriots, the Steelers, and you tried the 49ers, who are there with the Cowboys, the Colts, and the Washington. That's the first time I'm ever going to say this on the podcast. Commanders with five titles. Two teams. One has nine. One has eight. Now, for the listeners at home and for Ollie, you need to think about longevity here in terms of teams that are long time tenured in the league that will have got titles before it became the Super Bowl.
When the only athletic player in the league was Jim Brown, perhaps, and he just ran the freight train through everyone. Is it the Cleveland Browns?
Our survey said, No, not the Browns. The Browns have four, Ollie. The final two on the list are the Chicago Bears with 9 and the New York Giants with 6. You want to play another round?
Yes.
Okay, let's play. Because I've got quite a... They're a bit rubbish to just the people say. Okay, I really like this one. The bottom 5 teams in terms of win-loss percentage ratio in NFL history. The bottom 5 team in NFL history.
Wow. So you have to be bad.
Of active teams. So it's of the 32 that are in the league now, not like the New England silly nannies who played in the 20s for 1 year.
So you have to be not just considered losers, but you have to be consistently below average. That's how you drive that thing down.
It is if you've been in the league a long time. But I think something to consider, and this is a clue for you, Ollie, and those people playing at home, this is easier to do if you're a more recent franchise.
Well, yes, the Jags make the playoff once, but stink the rest of the time. So I'm going to start with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Our survey said, yes, the Jags, they're 31st. They have a win-loss ratio. They're 0.416 overall.
Very bad.
So that's not the worst.
It is actually hard to be that bad. I think I remember the first being the Lions.
No. Ollie, that's wrong. Our survey did not say that. I didn't even go to the sound effect because I was so shocked. Yeah. The Lions are actually 25th, Ollie, in the overall. They're 0.452. But they've played almost double the amount of games of some teams in this bottom five. So try again, Ollie. Bottom five. Playing along at home as well. Keep shouting at your podcast.
One thing that's throwing me here is the Cleveland Browns considered just the new organization? Do the Baltimore Ravens have the old Cleveland Browns record when they were good?
No. The Cleveland Browns, the records then went back when the team moved again. I know that. So the Cleveland Browns will contain those records that were decent.
So it's how much does Johnny Manziel... And
has it messed it up enough to get them in the bottom 5?
Get them past Jim Brown. This is an extraordinary decision to make. And then the Jets is a tough one because they're always bad, but then they have like 4 years of goodness. I'm still going to go with the Jets.
Our survey said, no, just outside, Ollie. The Jets are 27th, 0.440. Oh. So there's 4 teams you've missed in this top 5. You've got Jacksonville. Now, I'm going to give you one more life. But if you get another one wrong, Ollie, you're done.
You have a chance to steal. And now I go straight in my mind to the Bungles, and yet I also have in my head that they did win a lot when Bill Walsh was there, and they won quite consistently with Marvin Lewis, and that feels like a fair few years to string together. How am I missing the 32nd team?
It's actually quite surprising, Ollie. It's actually quite surprising, but you've got one more game. Are you going with the Bengals, or are you going to venture away from there?
Oh, I can't go with that because I know in my head that's going to be wrong. Let me just quickly as I talk.
Okay, you talk through and I'll just vamp as well because I definitely think that we should. This is a in terms of game shows as well for the podcast. It's a really good one because all you need is a list. And I tell you what, it generates some good chat and it generates some thoughts in your head. I know at home while you're listening, you're shouting. You're probably shouting the answer that Ollie can't get at your podcast or at your car radio now, whatever it is.
Oh no, I've played myself as well. I immediately then just jumped to the Texans. Then the Gary Kubiak's face slapped me in my face. I thought, oh, they've not been around very long and they were quite good in that era. And then Bill O'Brien won a ton of games, but they were so bad to begin. So bad. Oh, this is a hard game. I'll go back to the Bengals just to try and get that off the board.
Our survey said, no, Ollie, 26th. The Bengals are 0.449, and I'm going to put you out of your misery now. So 5th from last, just behind the Bengals and the Jets, the Falcons are 0.438.
Oh, yeah. Sneakily the loseriest loser town in all of America.
Nestling just behind them in 29th, Ollie, in terms of overall record, was the Texans, 0.433. Then in 30th, just above the Jags, who we've talked about, the Cardinals, 0.428, and 31st at the bottom of the barrel, and not by an inconsiderate gap, Ollie, at 0.402, whereas Jacksonville are 0.416, and having played twice as many games as the Jacksonville Jaguars as well, nearly, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Of course, clouded by the Brady of it all when they've been the worst franchise in the league for 4 decades.
Exactly. That's why it was hard to see. Anyway, I'm gonna
the Cardinals one. They've had about 9 iterations of the franchise, right? So they've been around since like the 20s. So that's been an insane number of games.
Now I'm going to forgo some other items that are on our running order because we've got things we can repeat every week, Ollie, and stick with this. I'm going to do one more round and then we'll go to questions for the listeners. Are you ready?
Wait, does that mean that we're dropping how'd you pronounce it?
Synonsense that we played last week. Yeah, we'll do some more Synonsense next week.
Nonsense.
I know. Well, I've got one Synonsense for you. I'll throw it in now. Synonsense, ladies and gentlemen, is the game where I come up with another name for a footballing term. I'll do one after this, Ollie. We'll play that game. We'll do just one after this. So, Ollie, final round of Family Fortunes, Family Feud. Let's play the feud. Here we go. So, alternatively, Ollie, this is most playoff wins since 2000. So, okay. In the last 22 years,
yep.
Top five, have at it.
Okay, Patriots.
Our survey said, yes, the Patriots, number one with 42 games played, 30 wins. That is a lot.
They win a lot of football games. The Seahawks.
Our survey said, yes, fourth, Ollie. 27 games played, 14 wins.
You said since 2000, right?
Since 2000. So you've got two of the top five. You need slot 2, 3, and 5.
Playoff wins the Packers. They win.
Our survey said, correct, Ollie. Fifth, 29 games, 14 wins. Although there is another team with 14 wins, the Philadelphia Eagles, so I would have accepted both. So now, Ollie, you're looking at, you want the number two and the number three since 2000. Now, I believe you can do this without any mistakes, so I'm not giving you any lives. If you get one wrong, you're done, okay? So, two more to get.
The number two, is it incredibly obvious? Since 2000, that has to be the Colts.
Is that your answer, Ollie? I'm going to give you a chance to assess that. And think about the teams that have done well since 2000 in the NFL. Because I can see why you've said the Colts.
Well, I get all of Peyton and I get Andrew Luck.
It's you do. Andrew Luck wasn't around for as long as you think he was. I'm clearly leading you here, Ollie.
Yeah, I'm aware. And then there's the Broncos here. How many years have the Broncos had Peyton for a little bit?
To be fair, the Colts, I'll say this now. They've won 13 games. So they are just outside that Green Bay, Philadelphia, now, Seattle.
The problem with
game.
This as well is Peyton had the bye every time.
He did.
I you need teams that rack up consistent wild card wins here.
I like your thinking.
Okay, so the Steelers.
Our survey said, yes, 15 wins in 27 games played. So that leaves you with one more to get, Ollie. And this is a team that has won 16 games in 27 games played. So you've had the Patriots, the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Eagles just outside, and the Colts that we've talked about. So it can't be any of those teams. So you're searching for one more.
Is this team in a division with one of those teams?
Yes.
Really? That's something you would say no.
that surely that makes it obvious, though. So they're either in the AFC East, the AFC North, the NFC West, or the NFC North. I'm not counting the Eagles and the Colts. So it's in one of those divisions.
I really want to say the Ravens. The Ravens.
Our survey said, yes, Ollie, a full house for the final round of the game. You did a great job, my friend. Well done. And that, Ollie, is the end of the Family Feud, is the end of Family Fortunes. That's a great way to start our game shows.
Ooh, that's brilliant. Great. I think I had 2 out of 3. Not bad.
Yeah, you did pretty well, Ollie. Yeah, I think you got two. I think you maybe got 2 rounds right. I may have done 4 or 5 rounds there. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed that at home. Let us know your scores. If you got them absolutely perfect all the way through, please tell us mcfsquestions@gmail.com. But we might not believe you. Ollie, before we get to listeners' questions, I'll talk about sin and nonsense. So this is our game where I come up with a new way of describing a football terminology. Mm-hmm. So last week's example that we could use is ultimate shithousery or unnecessary shithousery, wasn't it? Which was icing the kicker. That's an example. And I hope that they start to use that on
the
commentary.
Something I've been using around my household 4 times a day.
Good. Unnecessary shithousery. So I will give you another one, Ollie. This is one off the top of my head that I know I came up with straight away with before I printed off my glossary, which we talked about on the show last week. What footballing term is this? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Side pop.
Side pop.
Side pop.
A lateral.
No. One more chance. Side pop.
Is the inflection essential?
Not really, but it kind of does mirror the motion.
Side pop. Can you do it again with the hand and the face?
A side pop.
It's a duke move.
Yes, it is a duke move. Okay, I'll give you one more then, because I really like this one as well. Okay, which football term, football nomenclature, football phraseology is this? Here we go. Grill.
Now that sounds like someone who lives under a bridge.
I know a few of them.
Do you repeat that one more time, please?
Grill.
I mean, this is preposterous. What is grill? Now, you're saying grill.
Yes, I am saying grill. I don't know why I'm saying it like I'm saying.
So that is not essential to it.
No, it's not at all.
A grill, is that just, well, that's, you use that as a face mask. Is it the face mask?
It's the face mask, Ollie. I just would like people to start going, oh, he's really good up in his grill. Anyway, it's a funny story. We went to, me and a few friends of mine on a stag do, we went to Edinburgh, and we went to the Edinburgh Dungeons. And we were pretty scared on the way through. It was really dark down there. It was pretty scared. They have obviously the
dark
staff
in those dungeons.
Yeah, it is. They have the staff who like are dressed up as characters. Anyway, we're right at the end and there's this door and we're in this like little pen room and it's dark and it's really quiet with like just the mood music they have in the background. And then suddenly this door opens and this guy dressed as like kind of a friar from like the mid, you know, the Dark Ages comes out and he looks perfectly like this friar. He looks exactly the part. And then he just walks right up to us because we're really close to him because we weren't aware he was going to come out the door. And in the most kind of faux American accent just goes, "Why are you all up in my grill, G?" It was the most bizarre experience of my life. Right. It's time, Ollie, for the listeners' questions. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can find Ollie and I on Twitter at Ollie Connolly, at @_Tommy_Moore. But if you want to send us questions, it's mcfsquestions@gmail.com. And we don't mind if they're NFL questions, random questions, comments or abuse, whatever they are, send them in. We'll probably talk about them. So all of the questions this week have come in from MCFS Hall of Famers, Ollie. People who were listening to us during the glory years and have come and returned to listen to the podcast again. And we start with Oliver Inwoods. Ollie Inwoods. So Ollie's first question is, he's got two questions. He says, do you think Pittsburgh and Tomlin can keep their record of never having a losing season going? I feel like people just assume the new QBs will be better than Ben, who was very bad. Well, he was at the end, but obviously that's a bit derogatory. But I may be overlooking what he brought to the team experience-wise, diagnosing plays, getting the ball out quickly behind a bad offensive line. And Trubisky and Kenny, two gloves, might really struggle behind that O-line. So, Ollie, what do you think? Do you think they can keep it going?
No, I think they're in trouble. I mean, the thing that kind of overrides the entire AFC North, unfortunately, is the guy we've been talking about kind of throughout this podcast. If that guy was available to play, I think they'd be in massive trouble. And you just look through their division, and that is by far, I'd say, a comfortable distance. Now, the defense has the potential to be great again, but pretty clearly the fourth best roster in its own division. That's never a good starting point. And if you have the worst roster in your division, you have to have the best quarterback. And they have by some far away the worst quarterback in that division, regardless of who starts. I'm not a Kenny Pickett guy. I'm most certainly not a Mitch Trubisky guy. And I think Mike Tomlin is a true warlock. And if anyone can figure this out, it's him, and it would be defense and run game and all the classic stuff. But no, I think this is the year where they kind of have a hard reset. And unless Pickett is complete magic, and I do not think he will start the season, they'll have a losing record at the end of it.
Whoever would categorize themselves as a Mitchell Trubisky guy? Anyway, that's just my opinion. He also says, Ollie, in his second question, which I think is fantastic, and these are the kind of questions, ladies and gentlemen, that I love. My girlfriend insists on having ketchup with a Sunday roast instead of gravy, and that this isn't weird behavior. Now, he's appalled every time it happens. Anyways, what's the weirdest food thing you guys like that common consensus think is weird? Now, first of all, Ollie, putting ketchup on your Sunday roast, brown sauce, whatever it is, that is not okay.
No, that is not okay. Ketchup is a condiment of a child. It is sugar water poured over. And I will allow it on chips.
Okay.
That is a child's food anyway.
I was about to get angry there. Can I have it on a burger?
I will allow it, but is there some kind of barbecue or sweet chili situation going the ketchup?
You've clearly got a limit here, so I'm just going to keep naming things until you say. So hot dog, I'm assuming you'd say no because you have to put mustard on it.
Well, anything that is an adult meal should not have ketchup. And we all know what they are. Don't be making faces.
Hang on a second. But would you class barbecue sauce as similarly a child's condiment? Because that's just full of sugar and it's sweet. Oh,
it is. And I thought about this hypocrisy before we did the show. I love barbecue sauce, so it is a complete hypocrisy. But barbecue sauce does also have a degree, slightly, not of class per se, but of upper tier food uses barbecue sauce intentionally. No upper tier food purposely uses ketchup.
You know what? That is quite a remarkable statement. And I think you might have hit on something there, Ollie. That might be what ends up going in the definitive guide to food in terms of what is okay and what is not okay. What I do want to talk about here, Ollie, is my wife, if you're not a long-time listener, she's Greek, born in Greece, raised there. We've got two lovely Anglo-Greek boys. They eat lamb in Greece a lot, but she doesn't like it. But they only eat lamb. The only condiment they put on lamb is mustard. And they cannot get their heads around mint sauce. And for me, Ollie, my favorite meat and sauce combo on a Sunday dinner is lamb with mint sauce. You know, like a shoulder joint, cooked slow, falls apart. What is it with mustard on lamb? That just seems backward to me.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Exactly.
Is that particular to the Greeks? Or is that...
I don't know. Well, anyway, listeners... let's keep going with this condiment wars conversation, mcfsquestions@gmail.com. So Chris Huntingford has got in touch. Hey, guys, long-time lover of your show. Yes, we know, Chris, you are a Hall of Famer. My questions are, is the reason Joe Jacoby not in the Hall of Fame because Dan Schneider and his shambolic running of a once-great franchise? And where does Ollie's hatred for once-great franchise come from? Is it just because of Dan Schneider? If so, I understand. All the best. Glad you're both back.
Where does my hatred of the franchise that used a racial slur as its name for
that one,
the majority of its history, come from? Let me think. I do not hate any franchise. I have no opinion of the franchise. I do not have opinions of the specific fan bases. I think that the Washington football team is perfectly fine. I comment upon their moves, and in the era that people have been listening to my voice discussing these things, it has been one shambles after. I loved the RG3 era. That was really fun. I loved RG3 coming out of college. I love Mike and Kyle Shanahan. That was a wonderful time. I think Dan Snyder is a deplorable person. I think he's run that organization in a horrific way, simply for his own personal gain, and is this weird convolution of Michael Scott meets Malevolence, which is just a bizarre combination. So no, it's absolutely no hatred for the organization at all. I massively respect their history. I love the Hogs. I wish in those pictures they weren't wearing those helmets per se. And I think the Commander's name is the most horrific name in the history of professional American sports. I think it's terrible. Outside of the ones that are racial slurs, I should probably counter. I would have loved, and I would have been all in, if they were able to get Snyder out of owning the team. And they had remained, as they should have done, and they should return to the Washington professional football team.
I agree. I would have preferred that.
Unique. You're Washington. You stand above and alone from everything else. Promote Washington. The second name is irrelevant. You are the Washington football team. They had it out there. They were forced into it, and it was a beautiful name. And so I applaud the Washington football team. I do not like the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I feel the complete same way. It feels like they were forced into doing that just in the meantime. Oh, we'll just call ourselves the Washington football team because that's what we're going to have to do. And ultimately, actually, that was organic as well. And they should just let it be because it was natural. It was a natural thing to choose. So there you go.
Lastly, for Chris to say, I think Joe Gibbs is the most underappreciated coach in the history of pro football. You look at his resume stacked up to anyone else's. The innovation, the counter tray, all that good nerdy stuff is basically unparalleled unless you get to Belichick. that's the only other guy, maybe Walsh, and to do it what he did, which is basically take a bunch of average to crappy QBs and win Super Bowls. Go and find me all the other coaches who have won multiple Super Bowls with average to good to crappy QBs. They don't exist. They all win with Hall of Famers, or they win one with a Nick Foles and they never get back again.
That's very true. Or a Joe Flacco. Let's move on. Dan Yale, Yaleykins, he's another Hall of Famer. He's got in touch. So good to have MCFS back in my ears. Love to come in your ears, Dan. You hope you're both doing well. I've got two questions for you. Okay. If you could add a third guest to MCFS, who would it be? They can be permanent and get involved in the whole show, or you could just have them on a call for a segment each week. And finally, if you could make one thing illegal... legal. If you could make one illegal thing legal, what would it be? If you prefer not to incriminate yourself, what one legal thing do you think should become illegal? Your old friend, Yaleykins. Kiss. Thank you, Dan. So let's go first. Who would you bring in as a guest, Ollie? That's a really good question.
I'm interested, first of all, to hear your thoughts on that one. I don't think people even care about my thoughts on that one.
Well, I'd love to get a bit of the old band back together and maybe have a bit of Neil Dutton, who's obviously doing very, very well now.
Say that as if we couldn't call him right now.
Well, we could call Neil and he would pick up the phone. Well, you could. He wouldn't answer the phone to me. You could call anyone, though. It would be great to have Neil Dutton on the line, maybe just for a bit of a fantasy segment. Of course, we're not really a fantasy show. We never will be. We might talk about it a bit in the future, but it's not really our thing. Or a permanent guest. If you're going to have somebody who's involved in the whole show, then maybe I'd want a little bit more of a character. Would it be great if Aaron Rodgers, as he's drinking his weird tea, mm-hmm. when he's in one of his kind of comatose states, was part of the show just for a little bit? That would be interesting.
I would definitely love to have him do a 15-minute segment, McAfee style. I know he does an hour with him, but we have him every week, particularly hopefully during the hour now where he takes his psychedelics, he says.
Exactly.
He apparently is taking during games, which is a wild admission from him. That would be a blast.
I know he's a bit of an arse, but he is actually fundamentally... he's endearing himself to me again because it's just the show of it. It's just nonsense. He's great.
He reached a level of... The problem with Rodgers, I will not get on my high horse, I promise, was that we took him too seriously on his crusade to be this kind of interesting free thinker. Once you remove yourself from this kind of art school vibe that he's got going on in his almost 40s, okay,
yeah.
Look at the totality of it and the when people get that level of preposterous, it becomes endearing and funny again. And
it does.
I think because we've no longer given him this credibility of, yeah, he's a very interesting deep thinker, and that has just vanished, it has now become hilarious, which makes him endearing.
No, you're completely right. And in terms of one illegal thing that you could make legal, what would it be?
Well, in the UK, I don't know why a thing that grows out of the ground is illegal. I would make weed legal, I think.
Probably agree with you there. It does seem a bit strange considering other things that are far more harmful. You can just buy whatever you want.
Yeah. That would be the one. Is there anything that is currently legal that you want to be illegal? You have children as well, so it probably changes your perspective.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Things are illegal. No, but I tell you what, I'd want... here you go. This is not illegal, but it winds me up. People that park in parent-child spaces at the supermarket and don't have any children with them, that should be illegal. That should be so illegal that they get their car taken away from them and their license taken away. I saw this guy, it was fantastic. So I parked up at Sainsbury's and there were quite a few spots, okay? But he parked in a child spot and he was in like a nice Merc or whatever, and he didn't have any kids with him. And I was waiting for him to get out. I was waiting because I was chatting to someone who was in a parent-child spot that I actually knew. I bumped into someone at the shop. I was waiting for him to get out. And he got out and he started walking. And I said to him, I said, "Hey, mate, where are your kids?" He said, "What?" I said, "Well, that's a parent-child spot, mate. What if there's a mum that you know, is pregnant with a kid? And she's not going anywhere to park." He went, "Oh, I'll just be 2 seconds, mate." I went, "Well, that's not the point, is it? Have you even got any kids?" As he was walking away, he went, "Yeah, man, two," and then just walked off. It was just like the biggest two fingers up to me. And I kind of thought, okay, fair enough. You win this round.
I got to say, the one thing I would add to that list, which is more of like an irritant that should be like a societal irritant that probably should have some kind of legislation put against it, is going up to the coffee shop window, booth, whatever you call it, counter, without your order already ready to go. Why are you in the queue before you have made the decision? Stand off to the side, prepare your order, and then arrive at the counter to speak to the lovely people to ask, please, for your coffee.
It's like any interaction point that people have with anything, if it's a machine or a till or whatever it is, you should be prepared for that interaction. It's like people that go up to a car park ticket machine and haven't got their ticket in their hand ready to put in the damn slot. I mean, seriously, wake yourselves up. Ladies and gentlemen, mcfsquestions@gmail.com. Send us your annoying everyday occurrences. We'd love to hear about them. Let's finish, Ollie. We've got one more question, and it's from the great Will, who is not only a hat rack on Twitter. Not only a hat rack. Always said that wrong. Anyway, Will's another Hall of Famer. He's in touch with us. And hey, if you send in enough questions over enough weeks, guys, you will become a Hall of Famer. And if you're a Hall of Famer, your question always gets answered. Despite the language being removed from the contract, how many times this season will Kyler Murray be asked in a press conference, how many hours of independent study have you done this week? And how funny could that become? It could almost, Ollie, become like Jordan in his final season getting asked, so is this your last time in wherever it was, in Detroit, in Chicago? Someone's going to do it, aren't they?
It's great because it's now going to be so in his head to the point of distraction where he's going to be posting Instagram photos of him doing the homework, which he probably wasn't doing before. And he's going to take more time proving. I mean, this is going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick Harvard levels of this. Every single broadcast will point out at some point either some kind of ex-jock, you know, blaming the media for how dare they could have said this. Obviously, he studies hard, or someone raising, well, maybe in this game when he's struggling, did he study this week? So it's going to follow him, I think, basically forever. It'll be part of the epitaph. And when he does some kind of documentary with ESPN, I imagine the first scene will be him, you know, in a blacked out room with the projector rolling and him sat with his notebook. I think this is now very much intertwined with who Kyler Murray is as a public figure.
Yeah, and he's never going to find it funny. So I wouldn't like to be the reporter who makes that joke. It is like, I have been watching The Last Dance again recently, so maybe that's when I made the Michael Jordan comment. When that person asks Jerry Krause, the GM, about is there the backstabbing that's going on, and he goes, you know, well, there's not any backstabbing going on. I'm frankly surprised you would ask such a question. Anyway, good night. And he walks off. And then as he's left the press conference, you hear somebody just say, one of the other journalists go, way to go, Craig. Kyler Murray going, I'm surprised you asked that question. And frankly, I'm disgusted. Good night, everyone. Way to go, Phil. Every Cardinals press conference. Right. Ollie, that's the show, my friend.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Please, please get in touch with us, because our shows are only as good as the audience interaction we get. You can hit us up with anything, whether it's a question or an idea for a game show that you'd like us to play, or random thoughts you want to share that we can then vibe off. mcfquestions@gmail.com. You can find Ollie on Twitter @OllieConley. You can find me @the_Tommy_Moore. And we will be with you every week, slotting into the Friday slot. This one might not go out on the Friday slot, but we're going to slot into that each week, get that cadence going here on Gridiron, and we'll be with you all season. And hopefully you'll be with us for the journey. So it's goodbye from Ollie.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Have yourselves a great weekend.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.